email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Dara O'Brien joins us in studio for a change. You're always on the phone.
I am on the phone, but yeah, like I live somewhere else.
Get on a plane and come over to us, why don't you?
That's surely inefficient. But no, it's genuinely nice to be here.
Yeah. And you're in town for Vicar Street.
Like inevitably for Vicar. Yeah, it's grand. So we started about 2 weeks ago, did a run of it there. I arrived over on the most eventful 4 days. I had a change of government and a weather lockdown in the 3 days of I was doing shows. This is a little bit more calm back this week. And we're doing a run of Vicars and we're adding more Vicars on, and then we'll do Cork, the Marquee, Clarny, all the usual kind of places that we're playing on our tour.
And I've spoken to you before about how you occupy your days when you're in Vicar Street. I think you spend a lot of time walking up and down Grafton Street, do you?
I promenade. I waved to me, hello, it's good to be back, it's fantastic. You'd think I would be like, oh, well, I've got the day to kill, so maybe I should, you know, have I even got to Collins Barracks in all the years of me? No, that's miles away. Have I got to the National History? No. Up and down Grafton Street just yet. No, I have a bit of a walk out now and again, but it's cold, so maybe then I scurry back. there's a lot of conserving energy, though, you know, because it's very demanding to do the 2 hours work. So you want to spend the other 22 hours just storing.
No, I'm laughing, but I actually appreciate that it is. You know, the thoughts of getting out there in front of people, 1,000 people, that you've made a contract with to be funny and they've paid money. Look, my head's going to explode just at the thought of that.
The thought of the sheer arrogance of it. The absolute painful. Oh, yeah, yeah. Do you know that involuntary reaction? I'm going to make you have that involuntary reaction repeatedly for 2 hours, over and over again.
Yeah.
I will do that. I try not to think about too much. But the thing that kind of keeps it is like every night, obviously, there's another new mountain of who's in the room and what can we do specific for that night. And like last night was beautiful. There's a whole thing, because everyone I spoke to was from Dean's Grange.
Right.
Like everyone I spoke, like randomly pick up you and they go, I'm also from Dean's Grange. And Dean's Grange is one road. It's not like a major area. Like it's just between two places. And so the whole thing became about Dean's Grange. And at the end, I am doing this tribute at the end too. I said, I want to say a few heroes of mine, like whatever. This came from nowhere at the end. I said, Flann O'Brien, Dermot Morgan, Count John McCormack, Ernest Walton. And people were clapping and kind of, this is very moving. I said, all of whom, I said, are buried in Dean's Grange Cemetery. Which I Googled during the break.
Did you? Yeah. I was so going, how did you know that off the top of your head?
No. I was furiously looking up any facts about Dean's Grange.
I was wondering, if the walking up and down Grafton Street and been very, visible, was anything to do with maybe going for, because we have a presidential election at the end of the year.
You think this is my chicken and chip circuit, that I'm just putting myself out there? I hear the field is very open. I hear. So, maybe a left field. I feel not living in the country for the last 22 years or whatever might be held against me at a poll.
Yeah.
But
you have the Gaeilge, though.
Oh, I have the Gaeilge. I have the science.
Yes.
The education element of it all would be great.
You've ancestral,
absolutely,
people who are important in the history of the country.
Absolutely, I could call on that heritage I have. Absolutely, yes. And also because I live in London, it could be handy if there was an event needed in London because I'd already be there.
Yeah.
That would be the deal I would have with this, that I could, because the kids are in school, I don't want to take them out of school.
So you do a commute, it's sort of pretty guilty on it.
Guilty, I'd be guilty on it. I'm going to come over, but you're paying for my accommodation and the flights. Thanks. And so I come over, stay in the horse three, can get to Dublin Airport on Thursday evening. Yeah. Is there much?
I know they're shouting at the radio. He couldn't bear going to a smaller house.
Just the garden. I like the garden I have.
Well, you have a zoo in the Orange.
I have. Are you allowed? You don't have a zoo.
I think there's a back gate to the zoo from the gardens of the Orange.
Oh, right, okay. So some one day, and another day I might pop over to the American Embassy, I'll chat to whoever's there. Shooting deer.
We were remembering the year 2000.
Yes.
Now, that's 25 years ago.
It is indeed. That's the shattering part.
You're very good at the maths.
I worked that one out for you. Yeah, it's bad. But because I was going, oh my God, because you kept playing things like Macy Gray and stuff like that. I'm going, oh my God, really? That's a quarter of a century ago. I specifically remember because I left Gondolas. I was doing Don't Feed the Gondolas at the start of 2000 and then made the decision to leave Don't Feed the Gondolas in order to go travelling as a comedian full time. Specifically because I went to do the Adelaide Comedy Festival and the Melbourne Comedy Festival, and I went away to Australia for 10 weeks. And it was in March to May of 2000. And I just checked this because this is always my memory. It was the 10 weeks that Maniac 2000 was number one in Ireland.
So you missed Maniac.
So I totally missed Maniac 2000. And when I came back, it was like it was different here. It was a different vibe, a different energy. And as an immigrant, later, because I didn't really emigrate for another year or so, there's many things I've missed. And you kind of feel it. You go, oh, no, they've lived to a thing that I wasn't there for. And that's even with the troika or the bubble or the boom, yes, of the bus, all that kind of stuff. These things have all happened over the last 25 years that I haven't been around. And I have to just take the hit of that I wasn't around for that, like for those things. Yeah. But Maniac 2000 was the first.
I'm sure you've been from South County Dublin and been from rugby sort of area, you would have known Oogie Oogie Oogie.
We were the little GA kind of, yes, island in the middle. We didn't do a lot of Oogie Oogie in, right, in our Tosh own little Irish language thing, whatever. It was happening, you could hear it reverberating off,
right,
it.
Down the road,
yeah,
but Black Rock College,
we were never joining in, but it was like the a new energy was in the country and it was exciting to see, but I wasn't part of it.
Irish rapping,
yeah.
And when did the panel start then?
Panel would have been about 2003, I think.
Okay.
Because I went to Australia and did the panel, the Australian original show, yes, and then brought that idea back. And it took a couple of years of people in RTE to go, I don't know, would it work? genuinely 3 years of, I don't know, would that work? Like the
people probably don't know is that it was a format. Now, yeah, looking at it, it didn't seem like it was a format.
The whole thing would work somewhere else. We once gave a video into somebody in RTE and said, this is the show we want to do. We think this would work really, really well. We think it would suit our Ireland, and we gave in a sample tape of it, and then we got a phone call from this particular exec, no longer around, who said, I don't think Irish people are interested in AFL and John Howard's presidency. And we're going, it's not, we don't do the exact topics. We do art.
Yes, oh, it'll be GA. Yeah. Maniac 2000.
You really think we'd repeat the words that they had said? You know, it wouldn't be
us. You're making that up. They didn't say that, did they?
Totally did.
Did they?
Yeah, right. Totally did. Oh, well, you know.
I was interested. We've probably spoken about this before, but it is ever present. AI.
Does it affect? Will it affect what I do?
I don't think it will affect what you do.
I don't, and I think that something that happens in the room, it won't affect. I mean, because you know, unless they start doing holograms of stuff, but I don't think that works. I don't think you'd go see new show of a hologram.
No, because you're into science and you're a live performer. So
yes,
you have a sort of a unique view on this.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, because everybody I have the chat with, they say, there's going to be a backlash against it and everyone will crave the live experience. And I don't know if they're saying that to comfort themselves, because most of these people are in the, you know, showbiz arena, or whether that will be the case.
I think it will. I think it may be more damaging for the non-live experience, in like the idea that you could create clips in which you are the hero. You could if we could deal with the massive amount of processing power and just, you know, genuine heft of energy that goes into making these things, that you could make your own movie, like a movie come out and you go, oh, I'd like to be the star of that movie, and you could insert yourself into those moving pictures. But I think for a live experience, I think it won't replicate you're sitting in a room with loads of people watching a show.
Yeah.
And that has remained pretty bulletproof amidst all these technological advances.
And your other area of interest is astrology. Surely it's...
Astronomy.
Astronomy, sorry, not astrology, sorry. what was the guy's name who used to be on Live at Three?
Derek.
He played the bass. What? Say again. Fergus Gibson. Gibson. Yeah, I was mistaken you with Fergus Gibson.
Yeah.
Astronomy. Your other area of interest is astronomy. And surely AI is going to really, you know, make that more...
Can process information a little quicker and do smart things like that. I mean, the AI that was working out protein folding and they won a Nobel Prize for it is very different to the ChatGPT and these large language models of like the... So it exists in all these different forms. And it's an amazing tool for... You know, thinking about things slightly differently and taking on loads of information and finding the patterns and stuff within it, which is a game that we're always trying to play. For example, with health data, that we've got loads of stuff.
Yes.
But if we can sift through all this data, we might be able to find, there's a reason why why that particular cancer might appear or whatever. And that's all very, very good. It's as opposed to, can you write a fake Shakespeare sonnet, or can you put a picture of me riding a horse or whatever, on the moon?
Yeah, but that's just a bit of crack.
It's a bit of crack. That's a toy that people use.
Yes. But say, for example, like crimes. Yeah. You know, where you have all this evidence.
Yeah.
And it takes, you know, months and months and maybe years for somebody to sift through it. Now AI can go through it and
absolutely. Yeah, yeah, no, you're right. Like fragments of DNA, all that kind of stuff. It'll do, yes, it'll do big information very, very well. So I don't, it's not going away.
Yeah.
And like, it's a very, very powerful tool. The I just think that the debate of whether it'll, it's a very, if people use it because it's cheaper and they'll stop using actual graphic design and stuff like that. I don't think, for example, it does anything enormously original in those situations. And it's certainly for comedy.
But you see, the thing about it is, most things are not don't that original.
I know. Yeah. As long as it's a shine and a polish.
We are all basically sort of AI in that we take all our experiences.
Yeah, and then we reprocess them and we put them back out.
Yes,
again.
Yeah, that's what AI does, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I suppose the one thing that we do, and this is always the thing, is that we know the intention of what we're trying to create. As in, we know if I say this, I can make you sad, or I can make you happy, or I can make you curious, because I know the telepathy required to do that. And AI does not. You can obviously prompt it.
Yes,
you can. Yeah. But I think you could. But actually,
you could say write a Shakespearean sonnet to use your thing, yes, and make me sad.
Well, for example, I got it to write one of these kind of, you know, this adoption thing, you know, and I got it to write just a sample letter that you'd write to somebody saying I am an adopt. Just I thought, oh, it's interesting. Right. I just got AI to do that, and I said, and put a quote, a poem at the end. But three times express you're very nervous about this.
So you stipulated it had to say it three times.
Three times. Something I said, got to say three times. And it totally nailed it. Like it wrote a very good letter. A very, like, you know, I wouldn't call it moving, but it would have done the job. And then it was a really good quote at the end. Like, then I went, oh, okay, that's actually slightly better than the one I actually wrote.
There you go.
That's the.
And we had a chat with this guy has created a clone of himself,
right?
And I had a chat with him. I had a chat with the clone. It was mad.
Yeah,
like it was actually quite disturbing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because apart from a few things that he repeated, he always sort of asked me a question back. So that would have been easy. He could, don't ask a question back. He could have prompted him to do that.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, because I was interviewing him on the radio. So you don't ask me questions.
No, I don't. I don't care. I have no curiosity about you at all. I've never wondered. Oh, Ray.
Dara. The sad thing is that's true.
AI wouldn't know the tone. That wouldn't know what the delicate game I'm playing there within, like, our long relationship. That I know you're going to bounce back from that, like the scandal. I can be brutal and rude, but I know it's okay.
I was cycling home yesterday. I was going through UCD and I was thinking that's the first time I met Dara O'Brien. And I'm wondering, is that tape there? There's a tape of Dara O'Brien interviewing me.
Yes.
You were in I don't know, third year or something, and it was Rag Week, and I was up there doing something, and you interviewed me. That's somewhere.
Yes, it is. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And I was always glad that you remember that, because it was like, I had a chat with you on the arts concourse.
Yes.
And I said, Ray Darcy's here, like, whatever. And I had a chat with you at the and presumably
then. And you were probably equally cruel to me then as well.
No.
I just didn't know it. I just didn't realise it at the time. Because I thought he was just a nice lad back then.
But I presumably, I mean, you went, oh, look, how do you get into television? Yeah.
Echo Island is a good place to start.
Yeah. Kids TV, man.
Don't Feed the Gondolas was great TV. It had a wildness about it.
It did, you know, and it certainly didn't have a polish about it all the time. One of the clips you played was a thing that I ended up answering for a long time. The Who's in the House, Jesus in the House.
Like, did you co-write that?
I had nothing to do with it.
Yes.
People would say it to me, like, for ages.
That was Brendan O'Connor.
It's all Brendan's work. Like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, yeah. To this day, I still have people saying that you're from Cork, and I go, no, he I'm not. No, anyway.
Where are you from, Dean's Grange?
I know Dean's Grange. Yeah. They're my people.
Dara O'Brien, so you just give us the dates here. The Vicar Street.
We've added a number of different weekends on in end of March and in July. The Marquee in Cork, we're on again. The INEC in Killarney, maybe the only one of the ones coming up that there might be some tickets left for. Right. But I'm all over Ireland in the next little while.
And if you can catch him in those venues, he'd be on Grafton Street regularly.
Oh,
Dara,
constantly.
Thank you very much. That's it from us. Cormac's on Drive Time. We are back on Monday. Enjoy your weekend.
Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.